Ken Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on The Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah.
End of the work week, the beginning of the weekend. And our president, Len, is the dude with a tude, according to the New York Post. He is taking on the world. The president is about to meet with the G7, allegedly our allies, but he's rattled them. We may be at war with Canada, I think, the way things are going.
Well, I hope they don't burn down the White House again.
Hey, we elected a president. We didn't elect, David McCullough, some famous historian, Len.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
And he's also preparing. Well, he's not really preparing. That's the wrong word. He's getting ready, I should say, for this summit with Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator.
Right.
And he says it's all about attitude. And you know what, Len? I think he's right. He has brought North Korea to the table, which is something the presidents before him were completely unable to do. So I think he's figured out how to handle the world.
Really? I think you're nuts. That's what I think. Really?
What are you talking about?
These are not complex negotiations about nuclear weapons. You know, Michael, I just want you to know, just for the record, I did not prepare for today's show. I don't need to prepare for today's show.
Because you've got
tude. I've got tude.
You've got tude.
Absolutely. You know what?
It's about attitude.
It's all about attitude. It has nothing to do with preparation.
May I point out, Len, that so far, so good. There is a summit with our mortal enemy, North Korea, that Donald Trump has engineered. It's something that Barack Obama couldn't do, your president.
My president?
You've got to give him some points on
he
that.
He wasn't your president for 8 years?
I tried to put that out of my mind.
Yeah.
I think I'm very well prepared. I don't think I have to prepare very much. It's about attitude. It's about willingness to get things done. But I think I've been preparing for the summit for a long time. As has the other side.
Can you play that again? Can you play that again right from the beginning?
Right. You want the beginning?
Yeah.
I think I'm very well prepared.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I have to prepare.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
I think I'm very well prepared.
Yeah.
I don't think I have to prepare very much.
No.
It's about attitude.
Oh, that's
it's
my
about,
kids. My kids tell me that every time they're about to take a test. No, Mom. I got it. I'm
it's
okay.
It's perfectly fine. We'll be okay.
It's all about the attitude, Mom. I don't have to study.
Hey, if you approach everything with confidence, you pretty much can fool the world.
I have to tell you, there is something to that.
Absolutely.
If you go in with a positive attitude to anything, the outlook's always better.
You want them to walk in there with a stack of briefing papers, Len, and say, let me see what it says on tab 37 here about some agreement from 1967.
I think it would be beneficial if he somehow had an inkling of what he was talking about.
What are you going to study?
Donald Trump is
By the way, I hear Blaine chuckling in the background, so at least one person agrees with me in there.
Blaine is our assistant producer.
Let me explain to you a little bit about leadership, okay?
Yeah,
a great leader is a big picture kind of guy.
Like a big envelope kind of guy? Like when you get big envelopes? From
big
the
buttons,
right.
Big hands, big
it's
ideas.
About attitude.
Yeah, it's
big attitude.
It's all about attitude. The tude.
And I, for one, am
man's
I'm,
got tude.
And I'm glad that he's rattling the G7, you know, our allies, this group of elite Europeans who brought the world to the brink of an economic crisis with their plans that took care only of the elites and left the working people behind. They've made a mess of this world. So it's good that Trump is rattling the G7.
Trump just tweeted.
Oh, yes.
Obama, Schumer, and Pelosi did nothing, all caps, about North Korea.
Uh-huh.
And now, weak on crime, high-tech Schumer is telling me what to do at the summit the Dems could never set up. Schumer failed with North Korea and Iran. We don't need his advice.
Wait a minute. But what's wrong with that? What's he saying that isn't true? They really didn't do much.
They did nothing, Len. You know what happened under the Democrat watch? North Korea got nukes. That's what happened.
I'm just reading the tweet. What are you looking at me for?
Because you read it with sarcasm in your voice.
Blaine,
it's with
because
an attitude.
Help me out here. I'm just simply reading a tweet, and you're jumping all over me.
You said it with attitude.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's a sneering tone
to your voice when you read the tweet.
I
have another reading.
Okay.
Obama, Schumer, and Pelosi did nothing about North Korea. And now, weak on crime, high-tech Schumer is telling me what to do at the summit that Dems could never set up. Schumer failed with North Korea and Iran. We don't need his advice.
No, that's not really Walter Cronkite. I can still
detect better?
A little bit of sneering in that attitude.
I'm sneering?
Yes, you're sneering.
Can I tell you one thing?
Yeah.
It's about attitude.
That's what it's about?
That's it. All right, also in the big three, Wow, this story about Pablo, the pizza boy, pizza man, who was delivering the pizza to the military base in Brooklyn, and he was picked up by ICE. He's now in detention. The Daily News is a thundering disgrace to our country, and restaurant owners near the base say that they're going to boycott the military base. They're not going to send any of their guys, many of whom are probably illegal, over there so that they won't be picked up. So, and now rounding out the big three, is it going to be a triple crown for Justify this weekend at Belmont?
What do you think?
I'm rooting for it. I think it'd be exciting.
It's funny, but I'm watching the footage. I have not seen the horse Justify in person. You know, from the footage,
the horse is tiny.
Doesn't look like a big horse.
He doesn't have that big butt.
He's not a Kardashian.
I'm sorry. Every time I look for a horse, it's true.
All of a sudden, have you noticed all of a sudden Natalie wakes up on Friday?
I know.
The rest of the week, where's Natalie at the beginning of the show? I don't know. All of a sudden, now she's talking about big butts and attitude.
That is the first thing I look for.
Chastising me for tweet reading and...
That is the first thing I look for if I'm picking a horse.
Secretary was a big horse.
I would never think to check a horse's butt out. But
absolutely.
The butt tells you how fast the horse can be?
Well, I don't know. I would think it would slow you down. But it hasn't slowed down Kardashian at all.
No, not at all.
Well, but here's Bob Baffert, the trainer.
Well, I think he's, it would. Six races is a lot. And but he's the kind of horse that he thrives on it.
Yeah, on pressure,
he's,
I guess.
Just a strong... muscled up, you know, he's just a great athlete, so he can handle a lot.
So we'll see.
Big butted muscled horse. We're going to go out to Belmont with WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini around 8 o'clock. I think she's out there getting ready for the big day.
Well, she'll give us a preview at around 6:45. She's out there. There's a lot going on the track. You know, if you go to the racetrack early in the morning, they're running the horses through their paces, and the jockeys are around, and the trainers. Horse tracks are great early morning.
It's really peaceful, too.
I've never been to Belmont, but I'm told it's beautiful.
Oh, it's absolutely spectacular.
I have to ask, the first two legs of the Triple Crown, when Justify won both.
By the way, stop there.
What?
I had a director at CBS. Anytime someone said the leg of the Triple Crown, he would rail. He'd say, crowns don't have legs.
Oh, well, okay,
crowns have jewels.
The first two jewels.
Of the Triple Crown.
I'm just quoting an old director of mine named Dave, who was great. He would just rail at me every time. But
they were wet, messy tracks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be nice on Sunday.
It's going to be a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll hurt him?
I don't know.
Is he riding the third rail?
First
rail.
On the rail. Which means he's going to break from the number one post position. Baffert isn't thrilled with that. However, more horses have won the Belmont from the number one position than any other. The thing is, why they call the, Belmont has a nickname Graveyard of Champions because it's a mile and a half. It's longer than the other two races. Mm. And for those who think that Justify can be taken down, towards the end of the Preakness, it became a very tight race.
Yeah.
And there were those who thought that if the race were longer, he might have been caught. So you have all these things floating around. That's what makes it
exciting.
That's what makes it a horse race, Michael. But I mean, have a dry track. You'll have a mile and a half. Don't ask me which horse.
I was going to say, what horse could take him down?
I have no idea. I haven't studied the
Seabiscuit?
Seabiscuit's not in this. There is a horse called Gronkowski, which is named after the New England Patriots player.
Oh, really?
Rob Gronkowski. But he's not one of the favorites.
I'll have to look
at the list. No, it's always exciting. I've been there. I haven't been there for a Triple Crown. I've been there when horses have tried for the Triple Crown and didn't make it. I was there in 79 when Spectacular Bid. Everyone thought after two straight Triple Crown winners that after Seattle Slew and Affirmed that Spectacular Bid would clearly win in 79. And no, upset by a horse named Coastal, which no one ever heard. So you just don't know.
Do they dress up at Belmont the way they do at the Kentucky Derby with their hats and their frilly clothes and
it's
all
not really a big
parasols?
But a lot of celebs come out. I mean, when there's a Triple Crown thing, you'll be there and celebs love showing up at like heavyweight fights when the championships are on the line. So
it's going to be
it'll be a fun day tomorrow.
Really got a few minutes here. I want to talk about this pizza guy. Here's my attitude about my tood, if you will, about that. So I believe in tough borders. I believe in a wall. I think we have a nonsense immigration policy. But I don't think that you can pry this guy from his family and throw him back to Ecuador. He's got two little kids. You have to find a way for law-abiding illegals here to have a path to citizenship so they can contribute to society and to the economy.
All right, we're going to go into depth on the story in the next segment.
Yeah.
So we'll hear from the wife as well. So we'll see. And I know we took phone calls yesterday, Michael, and it was unanimous. Our listeners said, get him out.
Not unanimous. We had a couple of people who...
Well, a couple of people later tweeted.
Yes.
We had a couple of tweets later that said he should stay. But by and large, when we opened it, the phones, if you want to call in, you can always call us here at 800-321-0710. In fact, later this morning, we're going to have open phones Friday. You can call
whatever you want. On your mind, you can fire away.
You can call up and say that this Riedel guy is really getting on my nerves.
that lefty Len is driving me insane.
How about that guy yesterday? I said... Am I Pinocchio? He said, your nose is so long, he's going to bang into the wall.
Exactly.
That's what he said to me.
And also, we've got the Tony Awards coming up on Sunday night, and Bruce Springsteen is going to be performing. And also, our buddy, he was on the show a while ago, Andrew Lloyd Webber. He's getting a Lifetime Achievement Tony Award.
Oh, very cool.
You know, I was running some numbers. He has made more money for Broadway than anyone in its history. When you put in things like Cats and Phantom of the Opera and Jesus Christ Superstar and Evita, you're talking billions of dollars generated for Broadway and New York City by an Englishman, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, and you have your Broadway column today.
I've got my Broadway column today, yeah.
I read it.
I read the last line.
I love the last line of your Broadway column.
Which is?
Which says you can check out Michael Riedel with... Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
I tell you, that's a typo because Len Berman's not supposed to be in that tagline.
Well, I love seeing my name in the post. It's hard to get it. Although, some people don't want to see their name in the post.
I'll tell you something. You do not want to see your name boldface on page 6.
No.
If you're boldface on page 6, it means you've done something that might be a little embarrassing to you.
Was that in the
you.
Post with Kate Spade's husband?
Yeah, there's a weird picture of
that
Andy.
That was in the post,
yes,
right?
Yes, Andy Spade. He emerged yesterday, and he's wearing a... like a Mighty Mouse mask, which is totally bizarre, I think. Very strange. I didn't check
really
that out
weird.
In the post. So, all right, stick around. Can Pablo stay, or is he headed back to Ecuador? We'll tell you how it all might shake down for the pizza guy when we get back. But first, let's go to Bernie Biter with the traffic.
From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Hey, it's 6:24. Just a great Friday shaping up. Gorgeous day. The only fly in the ointment is if you're coming south on the thruway and trying to get to Westchester and that tap is closed. There's a tractor trailer accident. It is closed, and that's going to cause big problems, I think, at the GWB as well, says Bernie Viter. So we got issues on the roads, so it gives you a little extra time to listen to us. And again, the big story, this is 2 days in a row that both tabloids are all over the story of Pablo Villavicencio. He's the Ecuadorian who is the undocumented pizza delivery man. He goes to the Brooklyn Army base in Fort Hamilton, and they arrest him, turn him over to ICE, and he could get deported. He's got a wife, a couple of kids. He really doesn't have a criminal record. He does have this outstanding warrant from 2010 when they wanted him to voluntarily deport himself. But other than that, he's been a model citizen. His wife claims he pays taxes. So, as you mentioned in the last segment, Michael, these other eateries in the area say, okay, we're not going to deliver.
Yeah.
Why deliver there? You know.
Yeah, why put our employees in jeopardy? I will lay you 10 to 1 that most of the guys on that military base do not think this guy should be deported. I think there was somebody on that military base who headed in for him who went after him and got him.
By the way, the story came out in the post, and Alice was out at the restaurant yesterday. She had heard the story as well, that it seemed there was a guy at the Army base that just had it in for this guy.
It's kind of a personal vendetta for some reason like that.
Hey, Danny in Massapequa. Good morning, Danny. You wanted to weigh in. What's up, kid?
Good morning, Danny.
Let's pick on the military guy first. But let me pick on the military.
Apparently, there was one individual who was upset about something.
Well, if driving back from the pizzeria, the illegal alien killed somebody with a car, you'd be asking why he didn't. But anyway, the man entered the country illegally. He was given a court hearing. He was ordered to leave. He broke the law by not. He's working off the books while his family gets Social Security, Medicaid, and all that good stuff. So don't tell me he's not a criminal. He has gamed the system, like 95% of the people who come here. Okay, that's why he's delivering pizzas for cash, because his family, he's working off the books, Len. How much more crimes can he break before we say he has a criminal record? Well, this is not the type. Yes, he seems to be a decent man, but we have laws in this country, and he was asked to leave.
Hey, Danny, should we round up the little kids?
No, we're not rounding them up.
Ship them over the borderline.
Why can't they? Well, listen, if we're all concerned about the family, then why can't they all go back together? I mean, he broke numerous laws. He's working off the books delivering pizza.
Well, we don't know that.
His wife said he paid taxes.
His wife said he pays taxes. So I don't, you know, that's your assumption. But here's the thing, Danny. Do you want to draw the line somewhere? I'm with you. You want to get rid of MS-13 members. You want to get rid of anybody who's seriously broken a law, committed a crime. I'm with you. But you're going to go, you know how many millions of little guys there are? You know, half of them cut my lawn. But do you know how many little you know how many people there are that are contributing to society
in a way? I can't even get into that statement. But anyway, did you realize that Costco and other places are having to raise wages of American workers because there's less pool of companies willing to risk hiring illegal people who aren't supposed to be working? They just shut down a factory in Chicago and had to rehire everybody who was unemployed from Chicago, and they paid them $4 more an hour.
You want to ship them all out, don't you, Danny?
Get
them out of here.
Pack him up.
Get the hook.
That's right.
Danny, hang up.
Danny just did a mic drop on you. Danny gave us the hook.
Danny gave us the hook.
Listen, I know there are a lot of people who agree with Danny, but really, you're going to round, you know how many millions of people? You're just going to go round up people who have families, are innocent, they're contributing to society
deploy law enforcement officials to go after MS-13, to go after the illegal immigrants who are criminals, are murdering people.
They're
the people we should be cracking down on and rounding up.
I think the one thing that people are having a big issue with, it's not separating a family. Nobody wants to do that. But when he had to leave the first time, he didn't have kids. He was in a totally different situation. He didn't leave then. I think people have a problem with that.
Well, that's because back then we had these very lax liberal immigration policies, so they could all just ignore them because there would be no consequences for it. That was the problem there.
By the way, that was a pretty good mic drop.
That was very good.
I have to tell you,
Danny is a loyal guy to us.
He is?
Oh, yeah.
He must really hate me.
He must not be happy. Danny, we love you.
Call back anytime, Danny.
Come back, Danny, but that was a good mic drop.
We'll send you a t-shirt, Danny.
He was foaming. How many more criminals if he had killed somebody on the way back
from the
Army?
Hey, it's our job to wake you up in the morning. I think we got Danny going this morning.
Danny was good.
We love Danny.
All right. So, boy, we're already a half an hour in. Look at all the people who want to call. We're going to get off this. Later on this morning, we are going to do open phone lines Friday. I have a feeling you people want to call back. Oh, is that Danny again? Does he call it back on five? Is that our man or is that a different Danny?
Is that you, Danny?
I don't know. We'll find out. Natalie squinted the calls. While she's figuring that out, let's call in the... different Danny. Let's call in
Danny Thomas.
No, he's not with us anymore. We have Joe Bartlett taking a vacation day. Jeff McKinney handling the news headlines at 6:30. Good morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. President Trump says he doesn't need to prepare for next week's North Korean summit because he says it's all about attitude. Trump is expecting a positive meeting. He says it could lead to Kim Jong-un visiting the White House.
I think it would be well received. I think he would look at it very favorably, so I think that could happen.
But he says it could take more than one meeting to get a deal done. President Trump then heads to the G7 summit today for what could be a series of tense meetings. It comes after the president imposed a tariff on foreign-made goods, causing a rift with countries like Canada and France. And just last night in a tweet, Trump called Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau indignant. The two also had a testy phone call last week, apparently. Grieving mother is upset with authorities after the death of her 2-year-old son. That mother, Maria Busoni, wants to know why an Amber Alert was not issued when her son was abducted by his father.
It's not warranted to let people know immediately that somebody's missing, and that has to be changed.
Giovanni Legurgo and his father, John, were found dead in a burning car in Virginia a day after John failed to return Giovanni to his mother. The office of First Lady Melania Trump is contradicting President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani. Early this week, Giuliani said Stormy Daniels doesn't have credibility because she's a porn star. And he said Melania believes her husband didn't have an affair with Stormy, but the First Lady's office says, quote, "I don't believe Mrs. Trump has ever discussed her thoughts on anything with Mr. Giuliani."
Do you think Rudy's gone rogue? Really? I'm shocked.
Rudy has rogue tendencies.
You think?
And he starts to roll. He starts to talk, and he's pretty buttoned down when he begins to say whatever he's saying, and then he begins to roll, and he starts to become expansive, and he gets too expansive, according to some people.
Pompeo slapped him down. That was fun.
Yeah, Pompeo says he's not speaking for this administration when it comes to North Korea.
Pompeo's not afraid to do that.
No, he's not.
Pompeo's good. I was watching him yesterday. He comes off very well. He comes out like a grown-up. I like that.
No, he's good. You know, former West Point guy, Harvard Law. So obviously,
smart guy. He's good. Pompeo's
really
good.
And worked behind the scenes to put the summit back together.
No, he's good.
You know, I'm reading a novel, just finished a novel, actually, where the person in the novel who obviously is Pompeo is beset with militaristic traits. And I don't think that's really the case with Pompeo.
No.
I think the author of this novel, which will remain unnamed, I think mischaracterized him.
No, he doesn't come across as militaristic at all. He's not General Kelly or anything.
I like Pompeo.
Yeah, he's good.
Hey, I'm just dropping in. What time am I supposed to finish?
Whenever you finish, you finish.
That's not the way it is around here.
Go to around 33.
They'll take you downstairs and shoot you if you're
right around. Go to around 33.
The New Jersey legislature has passed a measure to clear the way for sports betting, but Governor Phil Murphy still hasn't signed it, and his office says he probably won't do that until next week. Monmouth Park had hoped to begin taking bets today in time for the start of the Subway Series, Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Instead, the Star-Ledger is saying it appears Murphy is using the bill. He's a politician, is using the bill as a bargaining chip.
Politics?
In budget
negotiations,
or as the British would say, budget negotiations.
All right. Why won't you name the author of that novel?
Yeah, what is the novel called?
You can't remember. Is that why you don't know?
just read it. You can't remember the name of it?
Why made a depression? I thought you weren't going to name it.
You can't remember the name of a book
you just read? It's Silva, whatever the guy's name is.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's married to Jamie Gangle.
Oh, okay.
Michael Silva, is that his first name?
I think so. Yeah, he's married to Jamie Gangle?
Gangel, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah.
No, he writes. He writes.
Daniel Silva.
Is that
I didn't know he was married to Jamie. I love Jamie. Great. Yeah. She's now over at. She was at NBC. She's now over at CNN.
Yeah. So there he's a very successful novelist. He's very, very good. But I think he attached some, as I said before, some militaristic traits.
Gotcha.
To Pompeo, which I don't seem to find.
Welcome to Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning Book Club. Okay. Our next assignment.
Opera. We get back all aboard for the Subway Series, and we're also going to head to Belmont. Alice Stockton Rossini's hanging out. We're on Triple Crown Watch. That's all coming up next. But first, oi, the Tappan Zee Bridge. Here is Bernie Miter.
Morning.
On 710 WOR.
Happy Friday, everybody. It's going to be exciting for baseball fans this weekend. It is the Subway Series tonight, Saturday and Sunday.
It is.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Well, this should be very interesting, sports fans. The Mets couldn't be colder, and the Yankees couldn't be hotter, and here they come. But at least the Mets will have the home field in Queens.
City Field, that's it. Now, but come on. It's entirely possible that the Mets can shake things up this weekend.
Well, I think so. You know, you have to look at the pitching. Mm-hmm. And tonight, the Mets are lined up great. They have DeGrom, Mats, and Syndergaard's going to come back from the disabled list. So tonight's matchup, DeGrom and Tanaka. But tomorrow the Mets catch a break. Now, who knows if it goes according to form, but Domingo Herman is scheduled to pitch for the Yankees. He's totally struggled.
Mm.
And Steven Matz has been great.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night, maybe Matz can best Herman. And then Sunday night will be the primetime matchup with Luis Severino for the Yankees. He's 9-1. Syndergaard's coming off the disabled list with his finger injury. So we'll see what he has. So
you'd have the perfect team if you had the Mets pitchers and the Yankees hitters.
Oh, it would be unstoppable.
Absolutely. It would win everything in sight.
It's like football teams. You know, one team has a great offense, another has a great defense. If you can somehow merge them,
you've got a perfect team.
But the Mets aren't scoring runs.
Yeah.
So that's really the key. So, you know, let's see if they score some runs. We know they'll probably pitch well. So
yeah, absolutely. Hey, congratulations to the Washington Caps. They beat the Golden Knights to claim the Stanley Cup.
In five games.
All we need is a puck drop and release the hounds. Eller for the draw. And as the puck drops, the words that D.C. fans have been waiting to hear since 1974, the Washington Capitals are the 2018 Stanley Cup champions.
Wow, since 1974.
Well, they've never won. That's when the team came into existence, so it's their first Stanley Cup. That was John Walton on WFED. I'd say we should call John, but I don't think he has a voice left. So, great call.
I love hockey, by the way. I used to play. Well,
did you play?
I played as play. Depends on how you define.
Skate well?
It depends on how you define the word play.
You attempted.
I sat.
You tried.
You know, remember the bench.
Well, sure.
I was on the bench. That's where I was.
So you could have been a judge.
Well, I then tried to be a referee, but I couldn't get the hand signals correct. So I had them tripping when they were cross-checking.
Well, you went out there and ruled first down. That was a big problem.
I couldn't remember. You know, you have to remember the number of the guy you send to the penalty box. I would forget the number, and I'd send the wrong guy to the penalty box. So
how'd you get into Columbia?
I have no idea. They lowered the standards to let me in. That's how I got in.
But, of course, the big story this weekend, in addition to Subway Series, can justify win the Triple Crown of Belmont. That's exciting. And we sent Alice Stockton Rossini out to Belmont. And it's beautiful out there, isn't it, on a Friday morning, Alice?
Good morning, Alice.
It is gorgeous. And watching all these horses. How you doing?
We're doing good.
I'm doing good. Talking to the jockeys.
Oh, I thought you were talking to us.
What about you? What about you?
Are you amazed? Now, I assume you haven't been around a track much. Aren't you amazed at how small the jockeys are?
No, I knew jockeys were small. Oh, okay.
Everybody knows jockeys are small, Len.
But when you see them in person.
But they're cute. They are just, you know, like.
They are.
We represent the lollipop kid. Sorry.
They're not munchkins.
Sorry.
Oy. That's awful.
Sorry.
Big Money Mike is riding Justify, the Hall of Famer jockey. He's 118 pounds of solid muscle at like 53 years of age. He is impressive. Impressive. I hope to meet him out here this morning. I'm hanging over the rails watching the horses go by, and the jockeys are saying hi, and everybody's really excited. 90,000 people are going to be here tomorrow, the men in silks, the women in those wacky hats that they wear at British celebrations. We've seen a couple of those here this morning.
Do you have one on, Alice? Do you have a wacky hat?
No, I never go anywhere without my wacky hat, Michael.
Alice, I saw one wacky hat on TV, and it was being worn by the Fox reporter. So I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure New York does the wacky hat deal the way
I talked to Jody in PR here, and she said the wacky hats are going to be all over the place tomorrow. I think reinforcements or whatever. But anyway, we've got like the Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame jockey, Mike Smith, and the two of them looking to win together their first Triple Crown. So it's really exciting.
All right, Alice, we'll get back to you, but I know Justify is going to be on the track later this morning, and you'll be there to see him, so we'll check back with you.
To say that, Len.
Well, I stole your thunder. I stole your punchline. What time for Justify?
What do you probably know?
I do know. I stepped on her line again. 8:45.
God, let her do her own reporting. She's the one in the field, Len, not you. You're here in the studio, for God's sakes.
I'm jealous. I want to be there. I think it's a gorgeous track, a gorgeous day, and horse people are great. So, Alice,
we'll
you got a great assignment.
Okay. Bye-bye. See you later.
Hey, your horse is running Vino Rosso, red wine.
Vino Rosso.
You're rooting for red wine.
I'm rooting for red wine. By the way, just one line about Terrell Owens. He's been a pain in the butt wide receiver for several teams in the NFL. He's going into the Hall of Fame this year, but he says he's not showing up.
Why?
Well, he's probably boycotting the fact he wasn't elected in his first 2 years of eligibility.
Oh, my God.
His third year. That's just jerky.
How petty is that?
Just jerky. Anyway, so he'll get attention. That's even worse that he's getting this attention because he's not going to be there.
Right. Stick around. Len and I are headed into space, the final frontier, to tell you about a big discovery on Mars. Hint, we may not be alone. Hey, if you're feeling it or doing it, there's a free iHeartRadio playlist for it, and you can now try it for free. iHeartRadio's created a playlist for perfect any mood, activity, or moment of your life. Working out, time to chill, dinner party, road tripping, something to entertain the kids. There's a free playlist for all of that. There are thousands of iHeart playlists. Find one for the perfect moment in your life. iHeartRadio, all your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all of it for free. And now let's get some free traffic from Bernie Vider.
WOR.
Michael, this is hilarious. We just had Alice Stockton Rossini on from Belmont, and she did this whole report. She was excited to be there. And as soon as she gets off the air, she gets in trouble. She gets yelled at. Alice, what'd you do wrong, Alice?
Well, I'm standing right next to the guy who admonished me for standing on the rail, waving my papers, and screaming, "Excuse me, sir, he will not go live with me on the air." He doesn't want me to tell you. He's in law. No, in New York City.
He's what? And,
He's in law enforcement in New York City.
Have you been arrested?
This is day off.
Have you been arrested?
What were you doing wrong? You were talking too loudly?
No, I was standing on the rail because I wanted you to hear the clippity clop of the horses going by, and I figured maybe I'd get lucky and a jockey would stop and say, "Good morning, Len Berman." And they said, "You got to get away from there because you're scaring the horses."
You're spooking the horses.
No, and you know, I read that they have plugs in.
They have what?
If what in?
When it, They have earplugs. Don't these horses wear earplugs?
Oh, wear earplugs?
Alice sounds like she's in a library.
Hilarious. You know what? I can see the headline now. Triple Crown fails due to boisterous reporter on the rail.
Overenthusiasm.
Hey, Alice, do me a favor. Will you be like Eliza Doolittle in the scene from My Fair Lady in the Ascot where she's quiet and then all of a sudden she says, move your blooming arse!
No, don't do that.
Can you do that?
For you, Michael. Sure, why not?
Spook them.
I told them this is what I get paid to do.
Alice, you're the best. We'll talk to you later, but you better behave because we don't want you evicted.
Be very quiet, Alice.
I know, that would be bad.
See you later, Alice.
Very quiet.
Way before your time, Michael, they used to have bowling on television. And
oh, no, I remember bowling on television.
But there was an announcer called Whispering Joe Wilson, and he would announce the bowling like this because he was sitting right behind the bowlers. You know, they didn't have an announce booth.
Right.
And he called him Whispering Joe Wilson, and he would do the bowling like this. And that's what Alice has to do out at the track. She has to be Whispering Alice Stockton. Well, she'll be the horse whisperer.
If you have to whisper for golfers.
Well, golfers too, you're right.
Oh, forget
you can't spook
rattle
the horses.
Them.
I know.
It's a horse.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
Coming up on the first rail, it's Justified.
There's only one rail. It's not the first rail.
Sorry.
It's not the third rail. It's only one rail. Jeez. Yeah, I didn't like that last time either. What's that space? I asked Natalie for some space music. What is that?
This is outer space music. Listen.
This is outer space music, Len.
See? They're coming to get you.
Well, yes.
Outer space. Well, what's the big news?
Interesting discovery on Mars. They have found an ancient lake bed which has several complex organic molecules which could, they don't say for certain, but could have come from life. So there may well have been life on Mars at one point. The amazing thing, Len, this discovery has been made. Do you remember 2012? When NASA's Curiosity went up to Mars and we had those fantastic pictures, the Martian landscape.
That's 6 years ago.
Little Curiosity is the Energizer Curiosity. He's still going up there, digging around Mars, finding an ancient lake bed with complex molecules that could indicate possibly there was life on Mars at one point.
Well, here's the part I find fascinating. It's the organic matter that they've tested is 3 billion years old.
Wow.
So, I mean, is it possible that there was life up there at one time and it got destroyed? I mean,
it could well be. The
wouldn't
the building...
closed circuit video have picked that up if there was life?
When they left behind their record collection?
right.
No, but the building blocks of, there's an old Tower Records up there, the building blocks of life have been found on Mars. Now, it doesn't mean that there was life, but the building blocks are there. So the stage is set for the possibility that there was or could be one day.
Well, here's the defense. You know, we have some excellent scientists to explain it for us.
Bottom line is that we've greatly expanded our search for organic compounds, which ultimately are fundamental to our search for life.
Well, there you go.
There you are.
Now I understand it completely. Here's another explanation.
Things like meteorites or even rock processes. We can attribute geology all by itself without life to making organic molecules. And the information that we have doesn't tell us which source is responsible for what we have.
Oh, so now we don't know. It could be life. It could be a meteorite that caused it. We just don't know.
She just say rocks? Rocks or what? Well, came from
listen.
Rocks?
Rocks. I think she said, let's listen. She's not talking about jewelry.
Things like meteorites or even rock processes. We can attribute geology all by itself without...
Rock processes.
Hmm.
Oh, I think I just learned that in my son's science class.
I think, though, you have
Mick Jagger is a rock process as well.
I think one of the fundamental building blocks of life, though, are amino acids. And you have to find amino acids.
Now I'm glossing over.
Forget it. Who cares? We're here.
If we're alone, who cares? Big deal.
Let me tell you why the findings were also remarkable, according to USA Today. Because they showed that organic material can be preserved for billions of years on the harsh Martian surface.
Oh, ooh!
Now, who is it? Is it Elon Musk who is doing the one way to Mars?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one way.
Have enough to get back.
That's the deal. Who's going to buy a one way ticket to Mars?
People have signed up. I'm telling you. People have signed up. It's
never
thousands and thousands of dollars. They've signed up for a future. It's a one way trip.
They're not even going to get there.
But aren't there some people that you would like to send on a one-way trip to Madison?
I'm looking at one of them right now. But, no, see you, Len.
I thought it was Daddy from Massapequa, but no, just kidding, Daddy. That was a little joke.
I don't know, but think about it, though. Wouldn't it be sad if in that vast, great universe out there, we're the only life form? I would feel a little lonely.
Well, I just want to know if this is a precursor to the fact there may have been life there at one time.
Is there sports betting out there? Because maybe I'll go.
Well, not New Jersey, because there would be sports betting out there, but the politics, you know, they want to incorporate this into a budget bill. So that's why there's
I'll
no sports
stay
betting
right
in Mars.
Here. It's all good. I don't have to go to Mars for entertainment.
Do you know the Curiosity? Do you know what that cost, Curiosity?
How many millions? Thing.
It's a nuclear battery-powered Curiosity rover, $2.5 billion, and it was launched in 2011.
They've gotten their money's worth, actually.
They have.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
don't hold it
against little Curiosity, Len. He's doing his job up there.
Absolutely.
All right.
And it's money well spent to find out if there's life.
Largest, the most capable rover ever to make contact with Mars. Coming up, distancing from Rudy. Yeah, we're going to distance him to Mars. The First Lady and the Secretary of State. Don't take this personally, Rudy. Nobody likes you. After the news, it's 7 o'clock.
New York City.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone, and a great-looking Friday. You know, guys, I've been in sports my whole life. I was just listening to that soundbite that you were playing, Jeff McKinney, from Mickey Callaway.
Yeah.
We have the ability to spin the ball. What the hell is he talking? Is he talking about the pitchers who throw...
Spin?
Who's he talking about? We have the ability to spin the ball.
I don't know.
I don't think I've been in sports forever. I don't think I've ever heard a manager or someone say, boy, we really spin the ball well. I mean,
was he talking about baseball? Maybe he's talking about...
No. Is he spinning...
I'm talking about the Subway Series.
Is he spinning the Mets record?
I don't know. A little spin could be in order here.
Yeah, that's possibly.
Must be talking about the pitchers and the ability to throw breaking stuff. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
They've got the pitchers. They need some hitters.
Yes, they do.
That's it.
Boy, you know, I'm a provincial New Yorker. I know you're from St. Louis, yeah. Jeff.
And my Cardinals are having their own problems.
Are they? Yeah.
Yeah.
They usually come out well. But and I know, Michael, you're from upstate, but I'm so this weekend, the Subway Series, Belmont, Triple Crown.
It's exciting.
It's great to be a New Yorker this weekend.
A fantastic sports weekend. And because it's Subway Series and everything is heightened, everything is under the magnifying glass, are the Mets going to break out of it because of that? Even though they're playing what appears to be a vastly superior team.
Well, I think there are better chances tomorrow night against Herman, the Yankee pitcher. But listen, to me, historically, the Mets have been similar to the Jets. When you expect the very worst, they surprise you.
They bounce back.
Yeah, and the Jets have always been that way. The Mets have, when you expect just...
Well, let's think bad things.
If you expect a nightmare sweep this weekend with scores of 12-0, 14-0, which may happen, all of a sudden they're going to surprise you. They'll hit a few home runs. I can't remember the last time a Met hit a home run. I mean, it's, so we'll see.
Well, they can learn from the Yankees because they know how to hit home runs.
Well, the only thing better for a New York sports fan is if the... Knicks were also in the NBA Finals this weekend. I don't think I'll see that again in my lifetime.
Right. Very exciting weekend for Len Berman.
I'm excited. I'm psyched.
Spanning the world once again with Len Berman. There we go.
Our big three, the president says he doesn't have to prep much for the North Korean summit.
He's got tude, Len. He's got attitude.
You know what he says?
It's about attitude.
It is. And as I told you, Michael, I'm going to stop prepping for this show because it's all about I'm going to develop an attitude. I'm going to be one of those radio talk show hosts that has an opinion on everything, even if I don't know
what
I'm talking
about. Well, that is part of
the job. Hello.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That the administration
is doing the best job at ever time. The greatest president of all time.
And how come the media doesn't give him credit?
Hey, that's, you know what you got to give him credit for, Len?
What?
He has brought North Korea to the table.
Oh, he's brought him to their knees. didn't you hear what they said? Rudy said that Kim Jong-un was on his knees, but he's brought North Korea to his knees begging for the summit.
I didn't know that Rudy had been appointed Secretary of State.
Oh, wait a year. We'll talk about it.
I thought Pompeo was still the foggy bottom.
Rudy. But the president says attitude is more important.
You got to give Trump, you have to give Trump credit, Len.
Why?
For bringing North Korea to the table.
I do.
Trump has organized this summit. He has played it brilliantly.
I do.
He first came out and instead of ignoring North Korea, as Obama did, saying, oh, well, it's not going to be a problem. We'll just turn the other way because it's too complex for us to deal with. He basically said to North Korea, get your act together or we'll blow you up. So he put the stick about first. He scared them. Then they came to the table. Then he made nice with them. And then when they started misbehaving again, he said, summit's off. Forget about it. And then they came crawling back to beg the summit to be on again. He has got them right where he wants them. And he's going to play them brilliantly. My prediction.
Okay, you can close your right wing playbook now. But I give him credit for that. I said I was the first one who said even before there was a bandwagon. I said initially that if they denuclearize the peninsula, give him the Nobel Peace Prize. I said it first. Okay.
You know,
I get no credit around here.
You're hoping the whole thing blows up in his face.
I am
Yes,
not.
You are.
Well, see, that's just rude on your part. Peace on Earth, goodwill toward men.
You don't want Trump to get credit for peace on Earth and goodwill
to men. The
thing
I want to see blown up is Iran. That's because they don't, you know, they want to wipe Israel off the face of the map. So I'm not a big Iran. No, I want peace.
Oh, so you agree that Trump should have pulled out of the agreement with Iran?
Oh, let's not go there, okay?
If you kept up with that agreement, Iran would be on its way to getting nuclear weapons.
Stop.
And they're still making mischief there in the Middle
East. I'm going to go with the angle, and this will really annoy you, that any agreement is better than no agreement.
Let's not
go into Iran, all right? Also in the Big Three, the protests continue over the potential deportation of the pizza guy.
Well, the restaurant
doesn't have a criminal record.
Right. Well, the restaurant owners out in Brooklyn are saying that they're not going to deliver to the military base because they don't want to put their employees in jeopardy.
Yeah.
But I lay you 10 to 1. I love our military. I don't think most of those guys out on that base want to see this pizza guy sent back to Ecuador. He's a pizza delivery man. I read somewhere too where the sergeant tried to tamp things down, said, you know, calm down, let's not get out of control here. But the wheels of justice were in motion. The guy got caught up, and it appears to be there was one guy on the base who just headed in for this pizza guy. I don't know how he possibly have it in for a pizza delivery guy. What the hell does he do? Gives you the pizza, you give him a tip, and he's gone. I don't know what that's all about.
But do you know who does want to send him back to Ecuador?
Danny.
All of our listeners. We had 5-0 yesterday, and then Danny earlier. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, we will have open phone lines later on this morning.
Danny,
open
if Friday. You call us, 1-800-321-0710, we promise we'll put you through again.
He had a mic drop at the end that was classic. It was just hung up
he
on
He gave
me.
Us the hook.
Come on, Danny. I mean, anyway, rounding out the Big Three, Justify going for the Triple Crown tomorrow. We've got Alice Stockton Rossini, we hope, live at Belmont. We had her on earlier, and she was almost thrown out of the place because she was standing on the rail, waving her papers around, yelling to us on the air.
Spooking the horses.
And one of the security guards came over and said, Miss, you're spooking the horses. So I can see the headline now, Justify out of the running after being spooked by WOR radio reporter Alice.
She's ruined Belmont, poor Alice.
Well, Alice is just not a quiet type.
No, she's not.
It's not in her DNA.
Oh, my
DNA.
Goodness. When she gives me a bear hug hello, I
know. She comes stomping into this studio. Come on, you guys.
Aching for hours. Boom. Hello. All right, Alice. Back off.
Alice is known when she walks in a room.
Yeah. You know she's there.
She's the best.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll have Mets tickets. Yep. We have Michael's personal seats at 7:30. We have my personal seats at 8:30. There's no turning point, so all you have to do is be the right number caller. Oh, you know what else we're going to do? We're doing the next segment. We're going to do real news or fake news.
Oh, that's my favorite
we
game.
We haven't done that in a few days.
Yeah.
You can call in for that as well if you want to win a t-shirt, but we'll do real news or fake news. We'll give you a couple of headlines, and if you can figure
out. And we're
going to
goose up the t-shirt because Len and I just autographed a t-shirt for one of our listeners. So
okay,
if you win the t-shirts this morning, we will autograph the t-shirts for you.
You know who else we have coming up? We have Chaz Palminteri coming up at 8:23.
Yeah. He wrote A Bronx Tale, which was a very successful play, then became a very popular movie, and now is a hugely successful Broadway musical. And Chaz is actually going to be in the Broadway musical.
So he's never been in it, huh?
No, he's been in the play, but he's never been in the musical.
Ah.
You know, but everybody loves A Bronx Tale.
So I guess I didn't listen closely to you. Initially, it was
a
play.
Do you ever listen closely to me?
Not really. But it was a play first, then became a musical?
It was a play. Very successful play. Then it was a movie. Everybody loves the movie A Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
And now it's a Broadway musical.
Now, who put the music together?
Alan Menken, who wrote Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and all the Disney
shows.
Oh, big
time. Yeah, is the show doing well?
Right. Extremely well. It's been running, going on 2 years now.
Right. You promised one of our listeners some tickets. Did that ever happen? Did you ever come through?
Just
stiffed the listener.
I never heard back from the listener.
Okay.
But I did. I promised a Bronx.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
At 9:40, we'll have the voice of the Mets, the great Howie Rose, will join us. And Howie will, of course, be previewing the Subway Series. And I want to ask Howie about his latest call, which I think is a classic.
Unbelievable.
So we'll see if he trots out unbelievable.
Let's hope he can trot out put it in the books this weekend.
Well, he hasn't. I think he forgot how to say that. They've lost six in a row. All right, let's talk about Rudy. Everyone's out to get him. So Rudy does this little interview over in Israel, and I guess he was asked about Stormy Daniels, and Rudy starts quoting the First Lady. He says, well, the First Lady believes the president, whatever. And all of a sudden, the first lady's press secretary puts out a release and says,
wait a second.
Rudy's never spoken to the first lady. He has no idea what the first lady thinks.
Well, then Rudy says that Kim Jong-un was bending on his knees, begging on his knees for Trump to reinstate the summit. And Mike Pompeo comes out and says, Rudy knows nothing about what's going on in foreign policy.
Well, Mike Pompeo came out to the White House briefing room yesterday. I really like him.
I do, too.
I think
very
he comes
smart.
Off as smart and bright.
Very smart.
He comes off as approachable, interesting, honest. Well, anyway, he was asked about Rudy's comments.
I know Rudy. Rudy doesn't speak for the administration when it comes to this negotiation and this set of issues.
Flattened, game over, bye-bye, Rudy.
Well, tell me what Rudy does exactly. Other than seem to screw everything up.
Well, he's the president's lawyer now, representing the president in the Mueller investigation. And I think Rudy goes a little rogue, as we say from time to time. He should probably not dip his oar into foreign policy. Leave that to Mike Pompeo. But Rudy has been effective in tainting this Mueller investigation because, as he points out, so far, no evidence of collusion, Len.
So he's carrying on, obviously carrying the president's water over the 13 angry Democrats and trying to deflect. And
yeah, I mean, Rudy should stick to that. I don't think foreign policy is an area he should be wading into. And I think Mike Pompeo really put him in his place.
Well, Pompeo had this other comment about Rudy.
I took him as being in a small room and not being serious about the comments. I think it was a bit in jest. We're moving forward. We're focused on the important things.
All right, so he's kind of dismissed.
What did he say? He's in a small room?
Well, Rudy made his comments. It wasn't like a big, formal news conference setting. He was on some kind of a panel in a small room in Jerusalem when he made his comments about Korea and Boy Wonder. And so anyway, he's saying, and he's kind of swatting away Rudy, but he's also cutting him some slack.
Well, I suppose the concern would be North Korea might take offense at what Rudy said, and then they'd get all wobbly again and withdraw from the summit. So I think Pompeo's got to tamp that down.
Well, at some point, somebody's got to get to Rudy and just in general tamp him down. So if you say he's doing a good job and deflecting for the president
on the investigation on the Mueller front, that's what he should stick to.
Well, then the White House communications team will say, hey, Rudy, don't talk about the first lady. Don't talk about Korea. Don't talk about the G7. Although, I'll bet you the president likes. I just think that's the kind of thing the president wants. He wants someone out there advocating for him the way he does it.
Shooting from the hip.
Absolutely. That is that's our Rudy. Hey, coming up next.
America's greatest mayor.
Just ask him. We've got your Mets tickets, Michael's personal seats, and it's time to play Real News or Fake News. You can win a WOR t-shirt. And they are in limited supply. So call if you want to play and win a t-shirt, 800-321-0710. But right now, while you're calling, we'll check out traffic with Bernie Viter.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR. Breaking news on 710 WOR.
Yeah, we've got breaking news here. CNN is reporting that Anthony Bourdain, star of the show Parts Unknown, is dead, committed suicide in France. He's dead at 61. This is according to CNN, where Parts Unknown was broadcast.
Wow.
That is shocking.
It is a shocker. And he was in a hotel room in Strasbourg, France, where he was filming an episode. You think this guy was living the life going
top
around the world.
Right on the heels of Kate Spade, another person you thought was on top of the world.
And now 61 years old, Anthony Bourdain, who I'm sure you know. Here's a little bit of one of his shows.
Parts Unknown.
On the other side of town, another memorial. The Yerevan Cascade. Richard Giragosian is an American-born professor and political analyst who now lives here in Armenia.
I love that show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Terrific show.
So we'll have a lot more as the morning progresses on Anthony Bourdain. The word is from CNN, dead at the age of 61. Suicide. After Kate Spade.
I wonder if the suicide of Kate Spade sparked or triggered something in his mind.
All right, we promised this before the break. Yeah. We promised this before the break, so let's do it.
Real news, fake news.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel present Real News or Fake News. You decide.
All right, let's go to line four. Gary from Westbrook, Connecticut. Good morning, Gary. You are player number one.
Good
morning, guys. Great to be on. And I want to tell you, you guys have a great show. I just started listening a few months ago, and I listen every morning.
Thanks, Gary. We're just going to give you the T-shirt anyway. Yeah, you win the T-shirt anyway. It's all yours.
All right, I'm in.
Okay, Gary, I'm going to give you two headlines. You tell me which is real and which is fake. Are you ready? Okay, Gary, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. A Texas man decapitated a rattlesnake, but it bit him anyway. A Texas man decapitated a rattlesnake, but it bit him anyway. That's headline number one. Headline number two is, a teenager is running for mayor of a small town in Ohio and is leading in the polls. A teenager is running for mayor of a small town in Ohio and is leading in the polls. Which one is real and which one is fake, Gary?
Oh, I'm going to say with this wacky world that teenager is running for political office.
That's the real one? No, I'm sorry.
Gary, and you love the show so much, I feel awful.
I'm sorry. No, a man in Texas.
You know what, Mike?
Yeah, go
my
ahead.
My first instinct is going to say the snake, too.
Always go with your first instinct.
Well, here's what happened. This guy is doing lawn work in Texas, and he rakes up a rattlesnake, and he decapitates it, and then he's going to throw the head into the garbage, and the head bit him, and he had to go get anti-venom.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
So, all right, Gary. Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Tommy in New Jersey. Hey, Tommy, you're next up. You want to win a T-shirt, eh?
Yep. Hey, Len and Todd.
No, it's Michael.
Len and Michael. Sorry, I'm nervous.
You're so last year. All right,
I'm glad I'm making an impression on you, Tommy.
I'm sorry, Michael. I like you very much.
We'll let you play anyway. Here we go. Two headlines for you. Headline number one: a newspaper pulled an obit that shamed their mother. Headline number two: company offers free dog plastic surgery for rescue pets, which is real. And which is fake?
I'll go with the dog plastic surgery as real. The obit, fake.
That's unbelievable.
We can't give away
Michael,
these t-shirts.
You and I are getting too good at this. Tommy, you got to listen to our show because we did the fake obit. Well, it's a real obit.
Yeah.
No, the obituary story is real. In Minnesota, these kids were very upset that their mom abandoned them. They took out this obituary. They went, and the obituary ended by saying, "The world is a far better place without her." Their own mom. But the newspaper, the Redwood Falls Gazette, has now taken the obit down. They've rescinded it.
All right.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Boy, Todd over here.
Well, I knew he was in trouble right off the bat. But I'd like to give the first guy the T-shirt. Gary listens to the show all the time.
Can we make that decision?
No.
We can?
No.
We
can't. No, they got to win.
Give trophies to everybody?
But pat ourselves.
You got to earn it.
Right.
But Gary was so enthusiastic about our show.
This isn't the trophy generation. Everyone gets one. But by the way, pat ourselves on the back. We're getting better at selling these fake stories.
I know, we're faking them out.
Now they're buying them.
Hey, the big news, though. Anthony Bourdain of CNN Parts Unknown found dead in a hotel room. 61 years old. Looks like a suicide. That's what CNN is reporting.
Just unbelievable story. Yeah. Okay, so let's try to give away some tickets.
Put it in the box!
Well, let's hope Howie gets to say that this weekend.
Absolutely. Now's your chance to win my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies on July 10th at Citi Field. If you are caller number 27, caller number 27 at 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710. If you're 27, you're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. And now let's get the 7:30 news with Jeff McKinney.
Well, let's start out with Anthony Bourdain. It's breaking news. Nothing could be more surprising because Shocking. Nobody faced the world with more of a shrug and more of a wink, it seemed, than Anthony Bourdain. Immensely well-adjusted guy.
Seems to be on top of the world. Totally. Sort of. You just never know what demons.
Slouching his way towards his millions. He seemed absolutely the last person on earth who would do this.
Well, you know, when I first came across that he was found dead, I thought, well, maybe it's all that rich food that he eats all the time. Maybe he had a heart attack, but they're reporting suicide.
It's just unbelievable to me. Someone like a Kate Spade and now Anthony Bourdain. And, you know, we had Robin Williams. You just don't know the demons that people face.
Yeah, well, you know, comics like Robin Williams,
yes. You
could see that there could very possibly be demons in there, but nobody seemed more incredibly well-adjusted than Anthony Bourdain.
I mean,
he was very forthcoming about his previous
addictions
life.
And
it was
problems.
Always, you know, rocks, drugs, rock and roll, and
well, I mean, we're only speculating here, but maybe he fell back into the coils of
we have
of
no
an addiction.
Idea. We have no idea. Idea. But no idea.
Shocking
he
news.
Seemed, boy, did he have everything by the tail.
Absolutely.
I will tell you that this is going to shed a huge amount of light, these back-to-back deaths on suicide,
sure.
and suicide hotlines, and please, urging people, if you ever have any kind of a problem, you got to call. You got to call. You need some help.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a story this morning saying that people in this age group, he was 61, Kate Spade was 55, people in this age group are especially susceptible, apparently, to the kinds of depression that can bring on a suicide. So, yes, the spotlight is on even greater this morning than it had been with Kate Spade.
Sad news.
Other news, large explosion at a bungalow in Monroe, New York. That's in Orange County. Has left 9 teenagers hurt, including 3 critically. It happened early this morning on Cromwell Road.
I was in a bungalow right near here, and a guy started screaming fire. So we all ran out, and we saw, like, we heard it, whatever. It was a whole gas range exploded.
These are young people. It appears those inside the bungalow were teenagers from New York City who were away for camp. President Trump says he could invite North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to the White House if next week's summit goes well. So how is he preparing for the summit?
I think I'm very well prepared. I don't think I have to prepare very much. It's about attitude. It's about willingness to get things done. But I think I've been preparing for the summit for a long time, as has the other side.
He's an instinctual kind of guy. Trump says he could also walk away from talks should they not go well. And President Trump heads the G7 summit today for what could be a series of tense meetings. It comes after the president imposed a tariff on foreign-made goods, causing a rift with countries like Canada and France. And just last night in a tweet, Trump called Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau indignant. The two also had a testy phone call last week. This news is brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. A big change could be coming to the Verrazano Bridge. The name has been misspelled for years.
50 years.
Yes.
But we're...
3 Z's?
But we're terribly worried about it this morning. With only 1 Z instead of 2.
Ah.
So he was being shorted. Was Giovanni. That is, with 2 Z's, that is the way Giovanni de Verrazano spelled his name. Officials have known about the misspelling for years, but it was thought that it was always too expensive to change. They just didn't care enough. For example, it cost $4 million to change all the signs when the Triborough Bridge was renamed after RFK. But the legislature is ready to act, and the change has the support of Governor Cuomo, giving Giovanni de Verrazano his extra Z.
Hope it doesn't tie up the traffic when they chisel the Z in there.
Apparently it's going to cost a few mil, too.
Oh my gosh.
Get hey, those Z's in.
Stick around. We sometimes have these crazy stories. A guy was arrested in Boston after a hit and run. You're not going to believe how the cops found him. They were channel flipping.
Well, they had him. They had him, and then why they arrested? A crazy story.
Said, we'll get into it when we get back.
All right, we went straight from a long winter into the heat of summer. There was zero time to prepare. Hey, thanks for the warning, Mother Nature. Now, the last thing you want to be doing when it's hot out is packing and schlepping all your stuff into self-storage. So don't. Let MakeSpace do it for you. MakeSpace is the new way to store your things. Their team of professional movers come to you with free packing supplies. They pick up as little or as much as you want, and they move it into safe and secure storage. You don't even have to remember what you packed, because with the MakeSpace app, you can see pictures of what you stored, and you can request them to be delivered back with the click of a button. They've made storage so very simple. MakeSpace does it all, the packing, transporting, and storing, and everything. Now, here's a great deal for you. Book before June 30th, and MakeSpace will give you $100 off your first month at MakeSpace.com/Len. Only for the month of June, so get on it. Get $100 off at MakeSpace.com/Len. That's MakeSpace.com/Len.
And now let's go to Bernie Viter, who I know knows how to spell Verrazano with the traffic.
W-O-R.
At 7:40, we've got a winner.
We do indeed. Congratulations to Jorge Munez from Carteret, New Jersey. And the really interesting thing about Jorge is that he is a Len Berman fan.
Yeah.
From Carteret, New Jersey.
Carteret.
New
Jersey. It's like Target instead of Target. Natalie, you said Carteret very, very beautifully.
Carteret.
Yeah.
Chardonnay.
The only thing I knew in New Jersey is the Newark Airport.
Chardonnay, New Jersey. It's Newark. Natalie said, not only was he, tell me what he said, because he sounded like a funny guy.
Well, it was really nice. I was talking to Jorge. He said he was a big fan of the show, listens all the time, specifically a Len fan.
Specific.
Yeah, but then he said.
Because he knows he's not that many of them that he wanted to make sure he put that out there.
Way to go, Jorge.
Thanks, Jorge. I was still shaken up by this death of Anthony Bourdain. Natalie was telling me one child, a daughter, you think, what, around 11 years old?
Yeah, very sad. With it from his second marriage, married twice, I think divorced twice, and has been dating in an Italian actress, I believe, for about a year or so.
Yeah,
and
I think you're right. I think I saw that. Yeah,
and it's a suicide. CNN is
suicide. Just 61 years old. Another guy's traveling the world. Looks like a bon vivant, you know?
About 250 days out of the year he was traveling, according to Wikipedia. And he also did have a lot of struggles with alcohol and
this
drugs.
This is very true. He wrote a book, I think it was called Kitchen Confidential, and he talked about his struggle with cocaine and with booze. I have to say, now we're just speculating here, I watched the show a lot, and he did drink quite a bit on the show. Did you notice that, Natalie? He was always always drinking the wine, doing shots,
drinking,
trying to...
There were sometimes he was bombed on the show.
Well, that's not good if you had a substance abuse problem.
There were times where it was... It was clear, and it was kind of humorous in a way, but when you really think about the struggles he had in life, that's not funny.
No.
You know, he would drink a lot.
Well, he apparently took his own life in a hotel room. He was on the road doing a show. He was in France. Yeah. Not familiar with the town. They said Strasbourg, France.
Yeah, Strasbourg.
Strasbourg is a town of France?
Strasbourg,
And
Cataract, New Jersey.
Yeah. Cataract.
Stick around with us this morning because we will have more details coming up on Anthony Bourdain's. As we get them, you will get them.
Let me tell you about the bozo of the year. A guy named Phocian Fitz, 23 years old. He has the misfortune of mowing down an 80-year-old lady, hit and run, killed her on Com Ave, and well-known in Boston. Mm-hmm. And police didn't have enough to really, you know, he didn't give them much information, so they let him go. You know, police didn't charge him at all.
Yeah.
So then this guy goes on television on Channel 25, and he's on the news.
Right now, I'm not worried about nothing, man. Like I said, I'm not a stone cold killer. I didn't do nothing on purpose. People hit and run people all the time.
God.
What? All the time? What?
What did he say? People hit and run all the time.
What did he say?
He said people hit and run all the time. So he said he's not a stone cold. Stuff happens is basically what he say. Not a stone cold killer.
Oh, my God. But
who doesn't hit and run?
But that's a confession.
Well, hang on. But wait, there's more.
More.
What happened is what happened, man. And it wasn't intentionally. Accidents happen. All it was an accident. I'm driving too quick to the point where it's like I couldn't really stop. But it was a green light. So as the guy was, as the guy was walking,
it's a lady.
The light is green. I'm driving and I'm pressing the horn, beep, 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 beep. It was either I was going to die and crash into a pole.
Well, it was an 80-year-old man. Well, guess what?
Or I'm going to kill the 80-year-old.
Well, guess what? That's a confession. The police were watching the news. They went the rest of the...
But you know what? The nutty thing is that...
It's a good thing they were channel surfing that night.
The police had already spoken to him.
Yeah, but they didn't have enough evidence to keep him.
They didn't have enough evidence. He was actually talking to the media in his white jumpsuit from the jail.
Right. They put him in this white jumpsuit that they put you in when they... I didn't realize...
I thought it was orange.
Him in a white jumpsuit. Apparently, they put him in that to question him for whatever reason. He was still wearing it, and he's telling everyone what happened, what went down. Boom, they came and arrested him for hit and run.
Unbelievable.
Maybe the cops should just have a TV camera there and then people will say more.
Just go to Channel 25. You could save on police force. You need less cops. Just assign one to watch television.
If you want to confess to something, call the anchors at Channel 25. They're here for you anytime.
Good job. I'm glad they got them.
Hey, very quickly, this is out of Lehigh, Utah. A group of CrossFit enthusiasts are scratching their heads, Len, after they received an email from their gym. It says, "Thank you for being a part of Colossal CrossFit. At this time, we have decided to make large changes to our facility, what it represents, and who we hope to help in their fitness and overall change in vision. In light of this, we wish to inform you that you no longer fit in with our vision and our new facility and the goals we're trying to achieve."
So
they've been kicked out of their gym because they don't fit into the new vision, the new goals that the gym is trying to achieve for itself.
Now, Natalie, bizarre. You saw pictures of these
They're CrossFit people. They're not, tubs of lard.
No, these were attractive women in shape. They actually had, video of them lifting up weights and...
This is a gym that says, if you're fit and in shape, We don't want you?
We don't want you. It's got to be more to the story. Well, here,
this is Catherine Ashby, one of the women.
I asked him why I had been kicked out, and he said, unfortunately, it's going to be hard to understand. You just don't fit with the vision.
Wow, and this is Danny Warren, the other one.
I mean, it's a gym. It's like you're going to the gym to work out. So, I mean, I don't know what other vision there is.
I love her.
I mean, it's a gym.
It's a gym.
By the way, they're kind of cute. Who does this gym want? Roseanne Barr? Somebody like that?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Roseanne Barr and John Goodman?
I know. Everybody has been a member of a gym at some point. What do they want? They want your money.
Exactly.
And they hope you don't show up.
There's got to be more.
You have it nailed. They want you to join and not show up.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's what the gym model is. But I guess maybe they showed up too much.
Well, they're CrossFit. They're in training. Of course they're going to show up.
Boy. I mean, it's a gym.
Coming up, here come the Tonys. We've got number one expert.
Oh,
that's you.
Oh, all right.
Riedel's here to talk about this. Plus, Charlie Sheen paid how much for hookers?
Oh, my God.
Plus, actor Chaz Palminteri coming up at 8:23 talking about his new Broadway role. That's all coming up. You know, after 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan, work there, go to school there? Did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? Two questions for you. Were you in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to the two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them, $400 million cases. So, if you were a student or lived near Ground Zero or worked near there below Canal Street after 9/11, and now you have cancer, call him. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Let's check out traffic. Any better at the Tap and Z? Here is Bernie Bider.
Big show for you this morning at 8:23, Len. We've got Chaz Palminteri, who wrote Bronx Tale, which is a musical on Broadway now, and he is now in that musical. He's going to be joining us. Well, Bronx Tale is one of those shows that if you live in New York, everybody loves a Bronx Tale.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy. I've never met him.
Yeah, he's terrific. I've met him a few times. Yeah. Great fun. So, hey, we've got the Tony Awards coming up.
Well, you know, I was just reading this column and said everything you want to know about the Tony Awards, and I realized...
Who's it by?
It's written by you in the Post.
Let me take a look at it, see what I wrote.
No, it's a great thing. It tells you everything you want to know. You also said you're not expecting any surprises from the awards.
No, I think the favorite to win the best musical is The Band's Visit, a terrific show that I've been touting here. I love that musical. It's a really lovely, charming human story. That's going to win. And Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is going to win Best Play. Harry Potter is enormously popular on Broadway now with $65 million in advance ticket sales. It's a long one. It's a two-parter, but I'll tell you, all my friends with kids, they've taken them to see parts one and parts two. The kids would stay for part three, part four. They are so obsessed with Harry Potter.
But you've got the time of Springsteen's performance.
Yes,
in
my
here.
Big scoop. Yes. If you want to tune in to see Bruce Springsteen, who is just phenomenal in his Broadway show, he is going to be performing on the Tonys on Sunday night on CBS around 10:45, just before Bernadette Peters presents the award for Best Musical. And they put Bruce Springsteen late in the telecast because they want people to stick around to keep the ratings there. The hosts are Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles. They were on Colbert the other night with a cute little song about the Broadway season.
Well, they were making fun of the fact that...
They're making fun of the fact that a lot of the Broadway musicals these days are based on cartoon characters, franchise entertainment properties, and movies.
Yeah, so they came up with this little song to parody the whole thing, which they did on Colbert.
It's not your year if you are some pretentious theater snob.
Cause we've got Mean Girls, Frozen, and a little sponge named Bob.
We've also got some thoughtful plays for your son or daughter.
Like Junk or Iceman Cometh, or who are we kidding? Harry Potter!
It's cute. It's very cute.
Theater transports you to a different place and time.
And don't forget your plastic cup of $40 wine.
Yeah, little $40 wine in a plastic cup.
I'll tell you, that is one of my objections about Broadway these days, because I've gone and I've got my sippy cup of not so great Chardonnay, and it sets you back about $25 for the small one and $40 for the big one.
It's funny that they're biting the hand that feeds them. They're hosting the Tonys. They're making fun of the theater.
Yeah, operators. They got a good sense of humor.
So anyway, we've got the video up. It's Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles. They're co-hosting the Tonys. We have the video at our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael.
Yeah, sorry. If you're an Andrew Lloyd Webber fan, you'll want to watch the Tonys too, because Andrew is getting the Lifetime Achievement Award, and there will be a melody, a salute to the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. And who doesn't like the Phantom of the Opera?
So you remember Heidi Fleiss?
I certainly do.
The Hollywood Madam. Did you ever use her service?
Her little black... Well, my name was in the little black book, but I tore it out.
Yeah, well, it's 25 years now. So they went and tracked her down. She's now 52 years old. If you don't remember the case, she ran a call girl service for major celebs, and the big thing was her little black book, which they found. And she was sentenced, by the way, to 3 years. That was overturned. But then... she got caught up in a federal tax evasion case, and she did spend 20 months in the slammer. But these days, she's living in the outskirts of, I've never heard of this, Pahrump, Nevada.
Pahrump?
Pahrump, P-A-H-R-U-M-P, Nevada. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, like Carter Ray, New Jersey. And to quote Michael, she lives there with dozens of exotic birds. Well, who doesn't? So anyway, she's reflecting back on the 25 years, and Charlie Sheen went on a witness stand and said he spent $53,000 a year for her services.
Yeah, for hookers.
She doesn't remember it that way. She says he probably spent closer to $300,000 or $400,000 on call girls.
Well, now you would think if you're Charlie Sheen and you're a movie and television star, and he was a good-looking guy back in the day, a little weird-looking these days, you'd have to spend $300,000 to get some nookie?
Is that unbelievable?
Are you kidding me?
And I saw this little story, which I thought was great. There's a blogger by the name of Mike LaChance. He wrote this blog on a website called Town Hall, and he said that the conservatives should stop bellyaching about Saturday Night Live and come up with their own version. Come up with a conservative version of Saturday Night Live. You could have people like James Woods, Ann Coulter and others who are right-wing hosting. And
Sean Hannity.
Well, he mentions a whole bunch of people. He says you could have Rush Limbaugh as a future host. You could have, who else? Dennis Miller, John Voight.
Michael Angie Riedel.
Harmon, Larry the Cable Guy. He doesn't mention Riedel. Pat Sajak, Tucker Carlson, Mike Rowe. Musical guests could include Kanye West.
Yes, and guess who could make her comeback on the show?
Sarah Palin?
Roseanne Barr.
And they would do this in Omaha. and he raises the question. He says, imagine the horror of media and Hollywood elitists the first time Live from Omaha does better than Live from New York in the ratings.
I can see it. Live. Well,
that's
live.
A good idea.
Yeah, live from Omaha. It's Saturday Night Right Wing.
And here comes Rush Limbaugh tap dancing. I think it's great. I think it's fabulous.
With musical guests, Kanye West. And who's the country western guy? And I'm proud to be an American. Lee Greenwood.
So you could have a lot of them. And Lee Greenwood. Country types.
Well, you might run out of musical acts fairly soon.
The way that SNL mocks Fox News, then this show, the SNL, the Omaha version for the right wing, could mock CNN. I think it's a good idea.
I would watch, because I'm getting a little tired of the relentless attacks on our president from Saturday Night Live.
But he says, seriously, he doesn't know executives at Fox or anything, but what if they tried this out once as an HBO special? I think it's a great idea. You could try it out once and see. Can you imagine the fake news? The fake news is fake news.
Yeah, right. So we have real news here. Anthony Bourdain, dead at 61. We'll talk about that when we get back. Plus, we will go out to Belmont and check in with Alice Stockton Rossini, who's spooking the horses out there in the track. That's all coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Jeff McKinney.